Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 22 and 23. And it's ironic as I watch, it's an unwinding of all the social norms that we've watched culturally. You know, you think about the laws of this nation, really it's interesting as you see, I read today that, I don't want to trigger things too heavily with it because it will, but there was an article that came out today about how our government has placed a certain religious group in a danger watch for extremism. It's not us. And I read that. I forwarded it to a couple of you guys. I don't know. Some of you guys I know are interested in that. I sent it to. But these social norms, the reason America was established was not, as you are watching this narrative be skewed to say, freedom from religion. America was founded, brothers and sisters in Christ, freedom of religion. That there would be no state-sanctioned religion, and though we're watching now this, in essence, religions being purged from every essence of our society, starting with the purging of prayer from schools, purging of Bible reading from schools, you know, godless homes all over the place. I have never in my life, it's happened in 15 years since I've been here, was the first time it ever happened, meeting people consistently who have never had any Christian influence in their home ever in their life. And to me, the thought of that as a child, if you said that, I would look at you like you were from Mars. You were something that, what, you were crazy. Because as a child, that even the concept of that during the 90s, really, to me, that is a foreign construct, meaning that is so far removed from reality that I grew up in. But yet, church, this is becoming a nation that is so far and quickly running from God that I never read another article this week that said if we're not careful, it's going to be a post-Christian nation just like Europe is right now. Now, you might go, oh, you know, keep saying that, Brother Jonathan, you're scaremongering and fear tactics. It doesn't have anything to do with it. It calls reality. It's reality. Do you know how many pastors, I can promise you, during the time that Europe was going from, all think about in England, the Church of England, and think about this godly nation and revivals and tens of thousands, if not millions, of people coming to Christ. Can you imagine if somebody said, I'm watching the systemic fractures occur right now, which are going to ultimately lead to the purging of Christianity from our society? What would they have said to them? They would have mocked them, they would have laughed at them, and they would have literally run them out of town. So when I say what I say, please take it like I did before COVID happened and I told you, you better be thankful for what we have. Don't take it for granted because it can be gone in a moment's notice, as people many times would laugh and think that I was, once again, fear-mongering. No, I'm just going to be perfectly honest with you. I'm what you call a black and white person, and I'm not even talking about race. You can go on with your moral relativism, get out of my face with it, and I'm telling you that the truth, because truth is absolute. You don't go into a store because you're hungry, pull out a gun, stick it in the face of the clerk, say, give me 5 pounds of ground beef, walk out of the store, and because your motives were correct, right, because you just wanted to feed your family, then you justified what you were doing out of the need that outweighed the detriment to the other person. See, that's what moral absolutes are, or not absolutes, relativism. See, it might be good for you, but it's not good for me. And if you believe that, I can take that as far as when I walk outside tonight, I exterminate you. And you say, well, you can't do that. What are you talking about? You want to go down that path? Yes, I can. Because there's nothing wrong because I don't like you. Because you believe in moral relativism. So therefore, I think you should be exterminated. Well, you can't do, no, stop. You either have it one way, but you can't have it both. You either believe in absolutes, an absolute says, no, you can't do that to somebody else. You don't go into an establishment, pull out a gun, or threaten them and take what you need because you don't have what you have and you think you need or you may need. It's wrong. That's what it is, and there's a consequence if you have said actions. Amen? I just wish our nation would do this little thing that the Bible talks about. Man that doesn't work shouldn't eat. Wow, that would fix social service programs, wouldn't it? Amen? It's the thing of, yeah, you've got mothers, you've got women, you've got people who, that they sometimes do need it. I understand that. My issue becomes with able-bodied men who don't want to work. People completely and absolutely able to, that are not contributing to absolutely anything but a greater burden on society because of their desire not to. I personally know people who'd rather sit at home and play an Xbox and play a computer game than they would to go to work. And I'm sorry, I got problems with that. That is not what God called us to do. As a matter of fact, God created us to work. And not only work, He created us to work hard. Matter of fact, Scripture talks about how many days we should work. How many? 6 days you shall labor, right? But the seventh is a Sabbath of the Lord. So again, I'm talking about absolutes, and you want culture to work? Get people working. People do not need to sit at home. There is this, you know, one of those things you go, this should be a Bible verse. You ever heard that old saying? Oh, that Bible verse, the devil, idle minds, the devil's work. No, that's not a Bible verse. That might be a good saying. An idle mind is the devil's work, right? It's the devil's workshop. Because idle minds are not going to be usually occupied with things that are very wholesome, that are going to lead to good things in most cases, right? Stay busy about whose business? The King's, Christ. Moral absolutes, foundational truths. We're going to see it tonight in the message. How are you doing tonight in your walk with Christ? How are you doing in what you think you're doing and what you should be doing? How are your motives and things? Well, my motives are good. You know, I'm doing these things that I really think I should be doing tonight, and I got great motives for them, and I'm wanting to do the right thing. So you're close to doing what God wants. You're close to being in the midst of that narrow road that leads to life in the hammock of God's blessing. Are you? Tonight we're going to look at this, and my question to you would be, are you being obedient? That's the really one question we have to ask. Are you being obedient? Not to me. I'm asking tonight, are you being obedient to the plan, the purpose, the will of God, His desire for your life? Or are you sitting around because God isn't doing things quick enough and you've become King Saul and you fell for the basic of all fundamental flops? As we know in the story of King Saul, losing the kingship because he decided it was time to help God do his job because God could not do his job quick enough. If you do that, you not only can sink your family, your fortune, your finances, you can sink your retirement, and you literally can sink your entire life. So tonight I pray that this encourages you to step back and ask yourself the question, am I close? Am I in the place of obedience? Am I even in the same hemisphere, spiritually speaking? Where's your heart at? Where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. Are you involved in kingdom work, even in basic tithing with what God's blessed you with? Very rarely do I even touch on that subject because God is so awesome about doing what God can do. Are you being faithful with your time, your talents, your resources? Because remember, we can think it into being, right? No, you can't think it into being. I can sit around all day long and think about a project that needs done. I can tell you how to do it. I can go and buy the materials. I can unload them and I can stick them in front of there, and then I can sit down in a chair with coffee or lemonade, kind of the things that I enjoy, right? Those little simple pleasures. And I'm going to sit down. How many people here have ever willed something into fruition or to being? Right, there's nobody here because it can't be done. So we can will ourselves in believing that we are doing what we're supposed to do, but in reality tonight, introspectively, what is the sum total of your life tonight in relation to living the purpose, the plan that God divinely created you to live? And if you're not making an impact in others' lives, I would ask you tonight to step back and say, what am I doing to leave a legacy that is going to impact others the moment that I go 10-7 out of service, take our last breath? Hope you found 1 Samuel chapter 15 tonight. We're going to look at verses 22 and 23. And if you're able physically, let's stand out of reverence for the reading of God's word. Then Samuel said, "Does the Lord take pleasure in burnt offerings and sacrifice as much as in obeying the Lord? Look, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to pay attention is better than the fat of rams. Rebellion is like the sin of divination, and defiance is like wickedness and idolatry. Because you've rejected the word of the Lord, he's rejected you as king." Father, thank you again, God, for this privilege we have tonight. Lord, I pray that you would move in hearts. Get us from a place, Lord, wherever we are tonight, of either self-service, of living for self, focus on the kingdom of self, Lord, to a place of being used to impact others' lives and making a difference in the lives of those people that you have blessed us with. Lord, they're your creation. They're your workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And therefore, we have an obligation to impact people's lives in the blessing of what it means to know, love, honor, serve you. Father, hide me behind the cross so that you alone may do what only you can do. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. First part of 22 again. Powerful part of this is right after, again, Saul is rejected as king. Goes through this, you have verses 1 through verse 21. It's basically an excoriation of Saul in his rejection of what God had told him to do and then what he wanted to do. Then it says, then Samuel says, "Does the Lord take pleasure in burnt offering and sacrifice as much as in obeying the Lord?" There's a lot in those few words. We could actually talk all night about that. What Samuel's saying is, do you really think that the animals, do you think that being disobedient and still giving the animals, you're doing what you're supposed to do? If you tell your family you love them but don't provide for them and don't discipline them and don't set them up for life that's going to be a life that will bring them some semblance of fulfillment, you can talk about how amazing it is to live in a cohesive structure of family and how amazing family is, but yet, you know, and mom, you want to discipline your kids? You want to leave it up to your husband? You want to be apathetic and complacent and indifferent? And, you know, I want to be a mama bear instead of a mama bear in defense of truth instead of the defense of your child that, by the way, did it in the first place, right? My child never would have done that. Oh, you just keep telling yourself that. You'll do that when you get him out of jail one day. You know, and sometimes it doesn't matter who you are. You can think, you know what, it'll all work out. I listened to an attorney today. Nobody knew that I even knew this person. They were at a pharmacy, and they got up real upset. And the little girl at the checkout counter there, I'm just standing about 5-6 feet away, and I hear this person say, "I'll tell you one thing, they don't get this straight, that I'm fixing to choke somebody, and I'm going to choke the life out of them." She said, "Sir, you'll go to jail." He said, "I guarantee you I won't." So this person walks away, and I said, "Hey, by the way, I know a good attorney if you need one." They didn't realize who I was, and they didn't realize I knew who they were. And I got done, I said, you know, she said, "Oh man, he's all wound up." Realized who that was, and I'm not going to tell you who it was, but I'm going to tell you something. That man wouldn't have gone to jail if he did what he said he'd do. I said, "That man's an attorney." And I said, "He said that because he knows he's immune. He's immune. He's very connected. Does that make it right?" No. To obey is better than sacrifice. Doesn't matter when you stand in the presence of the Lord that you knew people here and you had money and you had connections. All that stuff doesn't matter. You might get away from it this time. Little Billy, little Peggy Sue, you might get away for it now when mom and dad have laid down the job and they're rolling around so apathetic themselves that you're living like a hellion out in the world and nobody's going to care about it. It's no problem. You know what I always say? I got plenty of time. I will long outsit the belief that what you're doing that's going to reap a whirlwind of consequence. I won't even say I told you so when it happens. I will sit back as I do, shake my head and say, they knew it. They wouldn't listen. They wouldn't listen. See, we can talk about truth. We can talk about obedience. We can talk about all these things. until you're blue in the face, and I'm blue in the face. I can spend 15 years of my life in here screaming truth week in, week out, week in, and week out. You can still push your children straight into hell, parents. Whether you like it or not, they can. Parents, you have a much greater effect on your children and solidifying the person of God than anybody else. Why? When God says something, he means it. See, parents, you want to let your kids, well, they'll just work it out, you know. I believe in letting them come out of the womb and just whatever happens, happens. You go right on ahead. You go on and coddle them through the consequences of life. You go right ahead. You were a failure as a child, let your kids fail. That's fine. That's your choice. Somebody one time said, wanted to cause some trouble for somebody. They wanted to call the state on a family. You know what I said? I said, what do you think? I said, people have the obligation and ability to raise their children however they feel fit. If you think somebody's being physically harmed, you have an obligation to contact and share what you've seen. Otherwise, you have an obligation to get your nose out of it. And just because someone wants to raise, school, and teach their children different than you want to teach yours, that is not your responsibility. You can share that with a parent. I'd assuredly go to the parent, the father first. But I said, at the end of the day, every person in here can make the choice to fail their children. No one in here can make you make your children successfully prepared to face what lies out those doors. You and I have an obligation tonight. You can open the jail cell down there for them. You can open the door. You can spring the door if they get in there. That's between you and the Lord. My children know not to call me unless they were doing the right thing and got in trouble. You're doing the wrong thing? Hey, I'll talk to you now if you're going to be there and you just want to talk. We're going to talk about the weather and everything else. I don't want you talking about how the whole world's against you and it's not your fault, because I have a firm philosophy at home. Own it. Amen? Just own it and move on and deal with it and become a greater person and a better person for it. What is the only certain things in the world? Well, the world says death and taxes. I know salvation and death and taxes, right? Salvation first. I know the purpose, the plan of God, and God's word is number one. And I know death and taxes. By the way, he's coming after retirees, inheritance people. You better get yourself a CPA, because he's already said it word for word. They're coming after him. Think about that. So set up your estates, people. They're coming after him. If you think I'm just saying that to be political, I'm not. They have said it word for word. I'll send you every article that has been said. We are going after those death taxes. They're going to wear you out. They're going after retirements. Be very, very, very wise with your finances and protect it for your family, because if not, there won't be anything to leave for your family. That's a whole nother subject. But when God says something, he means it. What was supposed to happen with King Saul? He was not supposed to offer sacrifices. He was not the Levite, was not over that. End of story. That was not the job of King Saul. Tonight, first thing I want to share with you is this. Wonder if any motives matter more than my follow-through. Wonder if my motives matter more than my follow-through. I've got good motives. I mean well. This is really real for me in life. This happened to me more times in life than I can't even imagine. Someone has promised me they're going to do something. Don't tell me, I'm just being honest, don't tell me you're going to do something if you're not going to do it. Because I'll tell you where the respect with you will go. Where? You know the song, I'll Fly Away? Like what, from a prison bar has flown? That's where my respect will go, the same way. If you say you're going to do something, do it. Now, if you get sick, you die, right? If a catastrophic something has come in to being, that's a totally understandable thing. But if you say you're going to do something, just don't do it, I will have no respect for you. Why would you be like that, Brother Jonathan? Because that's the one thing that we have is our word. The Bible says, let your yes be yes, your no be no. Anything other than that is from who? Satan, the evil one. Not my word, God's word. So therefore, should we not hope that people will, when they say they're going to do something, do it, so that we can at least let our know that what we're saying is coming from the Lord? And if you can't do something, say, I'd love to, but I can't. Not that I don't want to, but I've got an obligation that I cannot get out of, and I can't, but I'll be glad to help you another day. Make a secondary plan. Say, I can help you this day if you can. No, I can only do it that day. Well, sorry, I can't. I'll try to get somebody else to help you too. But when you say something, do it. Be a man or a woman of your word. Be somebody that does what you're supposed to do. The same thing right here. Are your motives? Your motives can be great, but if your follow-through is bad, you better deal with that. Because you know what it speaks to? What? It speaks to your heart. Because out of the mouth springs the wellspring of what? The soul, the heart. You might say, well, yeah, it came from my head. It was a good, no, things that come from the head are like me, ADD. It's just, you'll talk all day long. I'm talking about those things that come from the heart. That's the things, what is that? The things of the heart are the matters of life, eternity. The things that come from the heart are the deep things. Those are those things that are truly have implications in all respect, in all manner. And then that second part of verse 22. Samuel says, does the Lord pleasure in burnt offering sacrifice as much as obeying the Lord? Look, to obey is better than sacrifice. To pay attention is better than the fat of rams. The second thing I want to share with you tonight is this. Obedience far outweighs any sacrifice. Because if the sacrifice is made but the heart's not there, what's the matter behind it? Nothing. Because the sacrifice must represent the condition of the heart. So therefore, if the sacrifice is made but there is no heart that is broken over the actions that then can be representative of the picture of what the sacrifice is meant to do, it's nothing. It's nothing. The same thing as if you go and tell your family how much you love them and you pack a bag one night, you walk out of the house and just leave. Why? Because you're just tired of life and sick of the same old, same old. Well, did you love the family? No, if you loved them, you would have stayed and not got said, I'm just leaving, I'm tired of this, and I'm ready for something new. Because love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. What? Love never fails. It never fails. If you love somebody right now, 50 years from now, no matter what their life circumstance might be or whether they're still alive, you better still love them, because if you do, then you loved them. Don't another person tell me, I fell out of love. I can't even go there with you in conversation. It's like talking to three-year-olds. No, you didn't fall out of love. You never loved them in the first place if you did love them. You did not love them. You cannot say, I don't love them anymore, as one of those country music songs drones on about, right? How many times I heard those years ago when you'd hear going Cracker Barrel, we'd have to listen to music down there, and they'd talk about just the... That was so depressing. I just could not do the country thing, y'all. I'm sorry. It is so depressing. I don't know how in the world any person can do anything every day without taking your vehicle and driving it off a cliff, because it's so depressing. The wife left, the dog left, the car's broke, you lost your job, and they're sitting there with nothing. Unless you're in the what? Me and She's the Queen of my double-wide trailer with the polyester curtains and the redwood deck. They were just starting. Amen? And then you got What's Her Name with How Can I Help You to Say Goodbye. She's preparing you for divorce. Think about it. Come on. You understand what I'm talking about? I can only handle limited amounts of that stuff, because truly it's depressing. Uh-oh. Got a whole church full of country music fans. Every one of them's out there working. They're sitting there thinking of a song right now. Brother Jonathan just ain't heard that one yet. Right? Yeah. Heard him, trust me. Aaron Tipton, I guess, was about the most. He died recently, though. He was about as happy and joyful, and he only had a couple of real decent ones. He died a few months ago, I heard, of COVID, I think, or something. But obedience far outweighs sacrifice, church. Out of the mouth spring the heart in every respect. So my question tonight is, you can even be in a mess As long as you're being transparent and honest about where you're at, you can work with that. I can work with that. You can tell me right now, listen, you don't even understand. I got 15 bodies out there in my basement. I told a person that one time. I've told many people that. You know that I can work with you? Now, I'm not saying I'm going to help you bury more when I say I'm going to work with you, but I've got something to go on. When you tell me, I don't care how bad it is. It doesn't matter how bad it is, because we can move forward and find a resolution where you can find peace, hope, and find joy. But see, it's got to be in the context and confines of the architect's plan for your life. How many people go out mudding in a Toyota Prius? Tell me. It doesn't happen. You go nowhere fast, right? Because it's outside of what the engineer's specifications for what it was built for. My Toyota, four-wheel drive, I'm sorry, but there's places that you can't get anything that'll go. I can take you, John, remember when you were stuck nice? John couldn't believe it. My little truck, everybody else has run off the road, all down the road. My little Toyota comes right up there, hook up to John. The tow truck was off the road. Hooked up to him, pulled him out there, got him up to his house. My little Toyota truck, and I mean this, it'll go anywhere. Ice, rain, sleet, snow, it doesn't matter. And I mean that. It was, John will tell you, it was solid ice. But see, the specifications of the engineer, the designers, designed that truck in every respect to go anywhere. In the original manuals in the 86 model, I know they actually showed you in the manual how to jump the truck. I promise you it's true. Part of the specifications, but see us, we also have specifications, and there's a designer, there's an architect that designed us. We can try to function outside of it, sure. We can. We can try. But what's going to ultimately happen? You're going to find out that the design God intended us for, to love and to be loved, and to not carry a weight of sin, a weight of actions and consequences, those that we were never meant to carry. We were never meant to offer the sacrifice. It was Jesus that came to take it for us. Who in the world loves? If you say, I love to discipline my kids, you need help. I can't stand it. I cannot stand it. I loathe it. But you know what I know? I know the implications of not doing that will be catastrophic for my children. My kids will tell you, I've never spent my time cultivating them to be my friend. They got enough friends in life. They need a parent and somebody who cared to stand up enough to teach them to be a man, teach them a woman, teach them to be responsible, teach them to love the Lord, do hard, work hard, laugh hard, love hard. That's the obligation. I don't care about your friend life. That's what I tell them out there in the youth. Y'all remember that, to split up the youth? I said, I don't care what happens in your love life. I'm not here to establish your love life. I'm here to see that you come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior to the greatest degree that I can. I don't care about being the popular person that everybody loves, because one day down the road, they're going to see that I truly did love them. They'll understand that down the road, because the hard decisions that you make sometimes aren't real popular ones, are they? But see, parents, we can fall into that belief system of whether it's being a helicopter parent, whether it's being that person that mows down every obstacle in your child's path. What happens down the road? Mom or dad, we're going to die, aren't we? What happens when you're gone? Well, see, you don't see what happens. That's what's so sad about it, and that's why it's so important. Remember, obedience far outweighs sacrifice. So keep that in mind every single day in the choices you make, because you're either preparing your children or the people that you have an influence in right now for success and to make their life truly easier in your absence or potential permanent absence one day, or you're creating obstacles that are going to prevent them from ever experiencing the blessing of the God that loves them to the level that he does. And then verse 23, and we're done. Rebellion is the sin of divination, and defiance is like witchcraft. wickedness and idolatry, because you rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. That one's always been an intense. Rebellion is as the sin of divination. Witchcraft. Either way, it's the same thing. You're not close. To rebel is to reject it all. You're not close. I said tonight, if you're looking like Saul, you're trying to help God do his part. You know you're involved in all these wonderful things because it's the right thing to do and you're gifted at it and that's why you're doing it. Oh, if God hadn't called you to, you're nowhere close being where you need to be. Nowhere close. But the question is your heart even desiring to be close in the first place? I hope you understand, being in church is not about pretending like you got it together. Convincing me that you've got... Listen, understand when I say this, I'm the last person you ever worry about. Don't worry about me at all. Because I'm the guy that's going to walk with you no matter how wretched the mess you may make will be. Where am I to walk? I'm not going to walk with you in it. I'm going to walk with you out of it. But I'm going to help walk with... What does Jude snatch others from the fire, hating the clothing stained by corrupted flesh? Meaning, there are real implications to the life, lifestyle, and choices that we make. And I want no one in here to feel the consequences of actions. I'm the first. I don't like pain. You know, I have enough of it every day. Anybody else like that? Anybody here like pain? Oh, I love pain. No, I love y'all. Put your arms up. Let me just get it out in the open right now. We'll let the whole church know that we're going to have a prayer meeting over you. I don't like pain, right? I don't like things that are detrimental to me that I know are going to have implications, sometimes far-reaching. I'm not going to go outside and get wooden blocks and build my house on wooden blocks. You know why? Because we're in Tennessee. The state insect is the termite. And I assure you, it will be less than 3 to 4 years and your whole entire residence is going to be on sinking sand and you're going to stand there and scream, I don't know why I put it on blocks. No. Actions have consequences, implications is what I call it. As a matter of fact, let's look at it from the basic. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. You send a white balloon over my house and find out what happens. I'll know everything about it. As sure as I can get inside and get something that I'm going to send it downward with. Why? Because there are implications to actions. You want to hover over my house with a drone? Go for it. You just better hope when I come outside and you're hovering about 50 feet over my house, guess who's got a new drone? Me. I've got young girls. I've got kids at my house, right? There's certain things you just got to be careful doing. There's implications for, I'll see you if you do it. Okay, go for it. I'm not going to let you take pictures of my children outside, right? Because that, brothers and sisters, when you go to court of law, and especially if you've got parents on that jury, what are they going to do? Oh, it's no problem. Yeah, they take kids of pictures. No, people are going to have a problem with those things. There's consequences to actions, aren't there? Oh, what consequences do you want? Do you want implications? Good. Investing in my children, investing in truth, investing in honesty, whether it's maybe what you don't want to have to do it sometimes and have those hard conversations and having real genuine relationships with people that are bringing about a growth in you. It's not easy, but what are you doing? You are reaping whirlwinds of blessing and the implications are greater transparency, having an authenticity in your relationships. I love that. Because authenticity means that when you're having a bad day, you can say, I'm not doing good. And that person's going to go, you know what? I'm here with you. I love you. I hate to see this, but I'm not going anywhere. Or you've created inauthentic relationships where you get together, man, and everything is always sunshine and bubblegum. You can have a smile on your face and be going through stuff. That's just truth. That's reality. That's life. That doesn't mean just because you're having a difficult time that there's something inherently wrong with you. But authentic relationships lead to not only authentic interactions on a spiritual dimension, but it breeds spiritual honesty. And what it does sometimes is say, hey, Saul, you're not supposed to be offering a sacrifice. You got friends around you that are willing to tell you that when you're there, instead of the troops that didn't say anything to King Saul and literally lock, stock, and barrel walked with him to his downfall. So remember, you're not close. When you're doing what you want to do, believing that God's going to bless that, believing that the implications are going to bring something good or something transformational to you, your family, and actually, it's actually going to bring pain and consequences that not only deal with you, but generationally in families and children. So why tonight is it important to, why do my motives matter? Because motives speak to the very nature with which you're doing something. What are your motives tonight? Motives. Step back, do an introspective look and say, what are my motives? What are my motives for doing what I'm doing in the first place? If they're not good, step back and begin to say, God, I don't even like my motives. I've been able to see tonight that the motives that I have are anything but godly, that are anything but honorable, anything but blessable. And then obedience far outweighs the sacrifice. So, hey, you know what? Why would I go and invest in this when this is not even what I'm supposed to be doing in the first place? I'm completely outside of what I should be doing. Why don't I step back tonight and go, this is what I should be involved in. This is the mindset, the attitudes that will lead to actions that spring out of obedience, being where you should be, versus the pain implications. And then I can't believe it's always, this mess is always mine. Why? Well, you're not where you should be in the first place. So the implications will most often end up in a place like that. Because God can't bless a mess, as Brother Willie would say. Amen? God can't bless a mess. And then finally, again, to rebel is to reject it all. I don't have time to sit in here for 50 years of my life, 15 for that matter, and play church with you, church. Listen, no, we didn't sign a contract that if I stayed here for 20 years, I get $1 million. And I'm going, man, I just got 5 more years, man. And I got, no. Church, please look at the basic motivation for my being here. And I tell you, be honest with yourself. What would I gain by being outside of God's will? Financially, church, it would be a windfall. Therefore, realize this. I love you. I care about you. I want to see every single person that's ever walked in Longview Baptist Church's doors or watched us online to be blessed. That's the only motivation I have. I don't want to see people walk out of here, spiral, and be destroyed. Breaks my heart. But what blesses my heart is when people go from brokenness and hurt, they go from shame, they go from that feeling of complete inadequacy to the knowledge that in Christ, on their worst day, God doesn't love them any less. And on their best day or their worst day, God can't love them anymore. He loves you as much right now as he did the day that you came to faith in Jesus Christ. And right now, if you're in the toilets, proverbially, spiritually speaking, God loves you as much right now as he loved you the day of Christ. Because what does he say? Come just as you are. Have an authentic relationship with the Lord. Have an authentic relationship with Christ. Don't play games. Don't be Sauls. Don't play games. We get nothing. Don't invest in something that you think because of your spiritual mind. Maybe you're a deep thinker and you have thought, and in a sense you're bargaining with God. You know, God, I know you've got to really like this. You know, I went out there and I helped somebody yesterday. I know you're going to really be happy with me now. You know what? Kind of sounds like you're in a relationship with somebody and the only thing that you can, you know, people pleasers that feel like they're only going to like them because, and you know, I've had bosses like that. I've had people in my life like that in my life that if I ever messed up, they'd never like me, and the only way I'd ever redeem it is to spend, you know, the next 3 weeks or 4 weeks doing good things to make them. That's exhausting. That's not what God is. But sadly, a lot of church members sit in pews every week and believe that God's going to dislike them if they don't sit on a pew. Now, does God want us to fellowship? Hebrews 10:25, don't forsake the assembling. We need each other. I need you just as much as you need me. We all need each other. And we are a bunch of broken from the Garden of Eden, from the dust of earth. Nobody here has it figured out, but we are walking arm in arm with the Savior who died for us as followers of Jesus Christ, running that race together. That's what we're doing. And by the way, if you ever do have it figured out, that'll be the day that you breathe your last breath, because this is not about us. It is about us being prepared for eternity. That's it. Tonight, where are you at in that? It doesn't matter if you're struggling tonight. It doesn't matter if you're literally laying in a spiritual ditch saying, God, I've fallen seven times. What does it say? Hey, though he falls seven times, he gets up. You've got that he's never going to leave you, never forsake you. Yes, sometimes his plan is beyond my comprehension, understanding, and it can be at times almost not mind-numbing is even too easy of a word. It can be crushing. But yet I know he loves us. And tonight I know he loves you. And the question, are you going to get into that authentic place? Maybe you're Saul and you're walking up right now to do it because you feel like God hadn't shown up quick enough to this situation. I'd encourage you to step back. Don't curse your blessings. Don't create a bigger mess than you already have right now. I've been the chief of that in my life at times. I think things are bad and it's like, oh no, it's almost like my mind said, oh no, it ain't bad enough yet. I'm going to invite something that'll make this look like a joke. But I've learned, the older I've gotten, I don't like that. When I realize something ain't right, let's do a course change. Let's say, wait, let's just hold up. Let's let God get a hold of this thing. And tonight you can do that, whether it's with children, whether it's with a husband, wife, whether it's a high school, it doesn't matter. Where you're at in your life. By the way, kids, the earlier you figure this out, the much. I don't like to say the word easier. The less complicated life is. What are you doing tonight to walk in authenticity with a God that desires to walk with you? It's not what the church, quote unquote, church as a whole presents, is what it's like to walk with Christ. Now, imagine Adam walking with the God of creation in the cool of the evening in the Garden of Eden. That's what an authentic walk with Christ is. You think Adam told him about the good, bad, and the ugly, so to speak? You know, there wasn't sin at that point. You know, he shared everything. God wants to know. God wants to know where you're hurting. God wants to know where your struggle is tonight. And you can be as raw and as honest with God as possible because he knows it already. Tonight, get close with him. Get in his presence. Somebody said to me recently, you know, I don't even know how to pray. I said, I love to hear that from somebody who's come to Christ. You know why? They actually pray authentic prayers. See, we get so churched and we think, you know, oh, and you know, and they get the rhythmic. I've heard preachers like, good night, what are you singing? What's going on here? And you hear the same thing. I remember a person in my family many, many years ago, they're not even alive anymore. I could say their prayer. That is the same prayer for probably the 35 years that I knew them. Share your heart with God. God, I don't know what to say tonight. I've had a tough day. Lord, I know you know it. And I just want you to know that you care. I know you know me. I know you care about me. And God, I'm just not feeling it right now. But God, I want to, because I know that there is no, in any way, ability for me to be fulfilled when I excuse you from any aspect of the life that you've blessed me with. And God, I might even do this begrudgingly. God, I just, right now, I need the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Whatever it is, just like I'm saying, just talk to God like you would a person. You don't have to go, well, thou art, no, stop. Just talk to God like you would a person. And realize that Jesus is the one that gave you the ability to do that, the gift of salvation and forgiveness. That's why we finish it in Jesus' name, because he gave us that ability to go before the Father. Tonight, take yourself from wherever you're at, whether it's self-righteousness and God's pulled you off a big, massive spiritual stool that you're standing on, or maybe tonight you have had the first glimmer of hope that you've had in years. Just look to the Father, because I promise you, he desires to make you
whole. Thank you for
whole.
Joining us today.
And to truly
pray that God's word has
fellowship
encouraged
you, and feel a peace
feel like
that can never be felt in anything else. Let's pray. Father,
family, today if God has moved in your heart and today you would like to make him not only the Savior but the Lord of your life, first it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin. Today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith, ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.